Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
This is a video game podcast, Peter.
It is, yeah, that's you're right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This week, we are sponsored by a company that we're very proud to call a partner.
Mm-hmm.
This week's Triple Jump podcast is brought to you by Super Mario Plumbing. When you need your pipes cleaned, there's no one better to call than the round mustache man.
You got a big Goomba clogged up.
Goomba in there. You got a Goomba out.
Yeah.
Called Super Mario Plumbing. Right, they'll clean you all the way through your households. They'll, oh boy.
Whether it's poopers or coopers, they'll stick
it up your. Super Mario Bros. Plumbing. Thank you for the kind sponsor. It lets us keep doing this every week.
Yeah, thank you.
And we wouldn't be able to do it without their help. So thank you. This is a video game podcast, not an athletics competition podcast, which I do feel the need to clarify because I've certainly noticed. You might have noticed as well.
Mm.
And we've had a couple of tweets too. People are starting to get legitimate athletics competitions in their suggested YouTube
feeds.
It's
unfortunate, really.
But you know what?
Eventually the algorithm might work it out.
Yeah, we'll be more popular than the Olympic sport, Triple Jump.
And possibly, like, people who actually are watching athletics stuff on the regular on YouTube, if the algorithm also knows that they're sort of video game fans as well,
we might
be the first person to get recommended to them.
Our viewing audience, on average, could be the fittest and most powerful viewing audience the history of YouTube.
But maybe we should have chosen a more popular, well-known sport. Maybe we should have just been called football.
Just football. Just football.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about football. It's just video games.
No. Can you imagine the crossover there? Loads of people like the footballs.
It'd be amazing.
So I'm told.
Although I'd imagine that we'd struggle with sort of sticking out just as much as we do already in a very bloated video game YouTube landscape.
You're right.
If we want to double or nothing, I feel like we could come out perhaps losing more.
Well,
if we just called it football.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us know what you think we should rename to next time we get sued. Question one, Peter.
We didn't get sued. We never got sued.
We got Pendle scandaling.
Yeah.
First question, Peter, comes from Ryan.
Ryan Griffin.
All questions come from patrons, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Yes. The real reason that we're able to do this stuff is because of all the kind people who support us at home.
Thank you, everyone.
Ryan Griffin says, with Sony and Nintendo moving away from E3 to focus more on their own conferences, State of Play and Nintendo Direct, do you think E3 as a concept is at risk? Do you think more companies and developers will pull away?
I'm inclined to say no. I think it's quite telling that, like, even though certain companies aren't technically officially at E3 this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're probably, I mean, some are confirmed to and some are suspected to be going to be doing stuff around E3 week anyway.
Yeah.
You know, everyone kind of knows that that is just the video game week. And, like, For example, my beloved, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is confirmed not to be at E3 now.
Right.
But they're doing a developer's live stream in like the first week of June. So, you know, they're, you know, that's only just a small sub studio who work for Ubi. But it's that kind of thing. Is I suspect we'll have I think there will be a state of play around E3 week. So even though people officially aren't there anymore, I'd like to think there's always going to be this sort of week every year where everyone does all their video game stuff, even if people do start pulling out of E3 more and more. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're bang on there in terms of that there's probably going to be a state of play or some kind of stream. As yet unannounced, E3 at the time of release of this podcast on Saturday the... Is it the 1st of June? The 1st of June when this podcast is going out. It's not next week, it's the week after is technically E3 week. But at the end of next week, on Sunday, Microsoft are having their conference. Mm-hmm. As it stands, there's no... And now I'm talking about at the time of recording, because between now and release, there might be a state of play announced. But PlayStation just did a live stream for Death Stranding, which we'll talk about later on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been changing for a while. Nintendo was sort of the first big company to say, we're not doing a live conference anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to start doing these Nintendo Directs. But even so, they've always had a big Nintendo Direct at some point scheduled during E3 week.
Yeah.
State of Play, PlayStation's alternative, currently doesn't. And PlayStation have been at every E3, I think... including the first one,
mm-hmm.
all the way back in the early, not the early, in the in sort of mid to late 90s.
20 odd years ago,
So this is the first one where they're not physically there for a very long time. Microsoft, I think, will continue to be there because they've always had a really strong third-party showing.
Right, yeah.
So they've always shown lots of third-party games. It's where you used to get your Call of Duties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And it's where From Software are rumored to be. Bethesda is still there this year. Square Enix are going to be there this year. We'll talk about Square Enix a little bit later on as well, because they're showing something that's pretty cool. There's the PC Gaming Show, which neither you or I have any particular interest in. Because
EA have just released their schedule.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing. EA aren't having a conference, they are having a live... They were going to have two live days of streams showing various things off, but now it's one. They've put it down to one day.
Yeah.
So E3 is certainly changing. I don't think it's going to go away, but certainly the more people who are no longer there, the less likely it is that there's going to be sort of a central gathering. As you said, I hope there's still a week where everyone says, let's all bring a thing along to show off to people at home. But in terms of actually being at the LA Convention Center where they've been for so long, if PlayStation is just like, nah, like not only are we not going to have a conference, but we can't even be bothered to come and show our games.
Yeah.
Physical presence is still a big aspect, I think.
I don't really understand why it's being, apparently it's a smart move now, various companies are doing it, to not have a conference at E3. I don't get why people have sat down in a boardroom and come up with this really great idea where it's like, we're not going to do that massive conference that everyone gets really excited about and watches. You know, why? That seems to be like the clever thing to do now, going off. I mean, it's not, you don't always just see what everyone is doing and go, yeah, that's the right thing to do. But given that, numerous companies now are doing it, especially as you say, PlayStation, who've been there for so long, they've decided just not to do it anymore. Why?
I used to be so excited for PlayStation's conferences every year. So excited. Last year's was a bit of a weird one. I think everyone can agree. It was a little abstract and strange. Yeah, they were sort of almost, it's almost like any film where they have to shoo away a wild animal that's sort of imprinted on them. They're like, no, get out of here. I don't want to see you. But secretly, they do want to see you. So they deliberately put on the weirdest conference ever. So everyone was like, I'd almost rather they weren't there. I'm like, fine, we won't be then.
Yeah.
But it's secretly what they wanted all along. I don't know. I don't know if they will never come back. Nintendo won't.
No.
They always have a show floor presence anyway to so you can play the games. But they don't have a physical... conference that they broadcast. PlayStation, I would like to think, will return next year, maybe when there's more to talk about with PS5. But for this year, it might just be a strategic move. Like, we all our first party games are either going to be very late PS4, exclusive to PS5 at launch, or they're going to be released on both and we don't really want to show those off just yet, or they're not ready to show off just yet. Or it might just be a PS5 thing where it's like the PS4 is so far ahead of its competition at the moment, we don't really feel the need to be there. We're not going to lose any business by not being there. Microsoft is still going to show off all the third-party games which the massive install base of PS4 owners can buy on PS4 as well.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, Xbox has already nailed down a lot of third-party stuff, so Sony can't be showing third-party stuff. And, you know, maybe their own work isn't done and isn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what would be there other than the, you know, new announcements that we wouldn't know about anyway. You know, potentially some Last of Us.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what else we would expect. You know, there's a bunch of sequels that could theoretically be revealed, but in terms of stuff that we know should and would be there, like The Last of Us and... Can you think of anything else?
Confirmation that God of War 2 is in development.
Well, stuff like that. I mean, like
Marvel's
another Spider-Man
2 is in
but
development.
We don't know that they're... Yeah, like, other than that, there's like... Yeah, maybe there's just not enough to make it worth their while to, like, do an entire conference.
I don't think they stand to lose anything by not being there this year.
No.
I think it's a shame. Selfishly, I would like to see them there.
Yeah.
But equally, I think it just makes Microsoft's conference more appealing and exciting because that's always been... a big bumper conference, like about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be full of all the third-party games that Sony's not even going to show this year, then that's going to be good for everyone, even if you don't own an Xbox.
True.
So we are going to have loads of E3 coverage. We'll be announcing that probably in the next few days, including an E3 predictions competition between Peter and myself, and a punishment as well.
Yes.
We'll be live streaming alongside all of the conferences of note. So you can tune in and watch us watch them, and we can all watch them together and have a lovely, lovely time.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are at ridiculous o'clock for UK viewers.
Yes, they are.
So Microsoft is at, what, like 9?
Yeah,
9 p.m.?
A couple of them at 9 p.m.
And then Bethesda's at 1:30 in the morning or something like that. So the time in between, we're just going to be playing some games on Twitch. It's going to be like a triple jump sleepover, if you will.
Square Enix at 2 a.m., I think.
Yeah, the following day.
Yeah.
So. Crazy. So if you want to find out more about that, please stay tuned to our social media channels in the next few days. We'll be posting a nice handy infographic about all the stuff we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks or so, week and a half. So
yes.
Please be excited.
But
yeah,
there may be new games revealed.
At
E3 this year.
Yeah.
But currently, you're not playing those games because they've not yet been released.
No, they haven't.
So currently, you're playing something else, right?
Yes, possibly.
Ben.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
Well, that's a great question, Peter.
Thanks.
And I'll ask it. I'll ask it with another answer question.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how words be.
What?
Hello? Not much has changed. Now we live underwater. I've been like on holiday and on stag do's and stuff, and there just hasn't really been much time for me to even be at home since we last recorded, because we recorded on Friday. My God, it's already nearly been a week.
It has.
What's happened?
I don't know.
I haven't really done anything with my life in that time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Have you not played anything in the past?
The swirling abyss of life.
Yeah.
Borderlands again. Sorry. The pre-sequel. Finished it now.
That's okay.
I've now finished every single quest in that game.
Nice.
And it's become very apparent to me that the end game for that game is dreadful. Because even in Borderlands and Borderlands 2, once you'd finished all the quests, you could still go to areas where there were high-level enemies, or like the sort of raid boss would respawn. And I'm fairly sure the raid boss probably respawns in Borderlands the pre-sequel as well, which is like a super overpowered mega death boss.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like level 30. Like in Borderlands, you usually finish the game sort of mid-30s, nearly level 40.
Right.
And Borderlands the pre-sequel, you do literally everything, and I'm just scraping level 30.
Yeah.
And it just tells you, go do New Game Plus. There's also the DLC, which I'm going to play, which is good fun. But that game originally, I think, had two DLCs planned, but because of performance, and I'm fairly sure 2K Australia maybe didn't do too well, citation needed, might be closed, citation needed, not sure, citation needed.
Right.
I'll have a look in a minute.
Okay.
the second DLC was scrapped. So I think there was a plan for you to actually get to a reasonable level by the time you'd finished your first proper playthrough before you did New Game Plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really annoying in that game. Because in the other ones, yes, if you were level 20 and you went back to an area that had level 3 enemies,
yeah,
you would get like 1 XP. You'd
right.
get nothing. But in this game, as soon as you're like 3 levels above like enemies, you get 2 XP. And it's like, ugh. And they do so much damage to you because obviously they're quite high-level enemies.
Sure.
But the scaling in terms of the XP you get is all wink-wonk in this game.
Oh, no.
And it's really frustrating because you can't find like an area where you can grind or like try to level up or go kill things over and over again for some loot drops and stuff because it's just not worth your time, which is kind of frustrating. Still, really enjoyed it. I think I am going to try and go for the Platinum this time,
yeah.
which involves doing New Game Plus and getting to level 50.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see how I get on with that.
Yes, you will. We will. Everyone will.
Tiny people, people's, the people's Peter.
Yes.
What have you got?
I also haven't had much time to play the video games.
Yes.
Because the day after we recorded, the day that we recorded the podcast last time, I went away for the bank holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only had two evenings at home since then. One of them I was out, and on the other one I didn't actually play any games. I think I've actually not played any games this week.
Not a single game.
I did actually play a little bit of Spyro, thinking about it.
And you streamed?
I did stream a little tiny bit of Spyro Reignited Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I kind of feel like... I think I prefer old Spyro now.
Do you?
Well, I don't think I ever didn't, but yeah, like
it was just nice to be able to play it again.
Yeah, like I think Reignited is a really good effort. It looks good, kind of objectively, mm-hmm. and you know it plays pretty well. But I don't know. There's just something very different in terms of like the level of charm.
I think.
I also have never ever played Reignited with the new remastered soundtrack turned
Ugh,
on.
Disgusting.
Gross. Like the guy who they hired literally gets some of the melodies actually wrong. Like he just puts a note that's like two tones higher than it should be.
Well, to be fair to him, they lost the original like musical notes that they used to make the original music. They're just lost in time forever.
Oh, those actual
so he couldn't get that note back because it was one and done. You know, it was one of a kind.
Well, you made Josh.
Yes,
you made Joshua.
Yeah, I made Josh.
But actually, apparently, what happened was they hired this new guy to do it all.
He was deaf in one ear.
He couldn't hear at all. Ugh. He'd never played a keyboard before. So he sort of recreated it all, and then after he'd done it all, they got in touch with Stuart Copeland, the original composer and mm-hmm. drummer from The Police.
Yeah.
And said to him, please, will you do like the main menu theme for us, if you like?
Yeah.
Just to sort of get you back in. And he said, oh, yeah, what are you doing with the... Roxanne, what are you doing with all the other music? And they were like, oh, yeah, we've hired someone else. We hope you don't mind.
He's
like, no, that's fine. Do you want me to send you all the MIDI for it? He's like, what do you mean?
Oh, for God's sake.
MIDI is effectively electronic notes, like sheet music.
Yeah, so you just press play and it goes bing, 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 yeah, in the order that the notes are placed.
Change the instruments and stuff and like, you know, mess with all that. But it means like the actual progression of each tune would have been...
Stuart, where were you?
Easily copied straight across. And he even sort of did a bit of a public dig about it in a very kind of lighthearted, jokey way, but like in the big panel they did before the game was released at, I think it was at E3 actually. I don't know. I can't remember.
Hmm.
But he went, they were talking about like, oh yeah. And then we got Stuart to do the main menu theme and we called him up and said, hey, we've got someone else to do the rest of the soundtrack. And he went, I could have sent you the MIDI and sort of rolled his eyes. And it was like, I think he was actually thinking, you guys are ruddy amateurs.
You flipping morbons.
Flipping morbons. So, yeah, I mean, the music's not great, but overall, it's a good game. I enjoy it. I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah, I had fun with it.
You know, I'll just always have a soft spot or a softy for Spyro, the actual original version.
He's got a soft spot on his head, like a little baby.
Like a baby.
You really want to just poke.
That'd be really... No.
The baby's reset button.
Do not poke the baby's soft spot.
It's where you... It's an ashtray. Little ashtray on the baby, all built in. Delicious. 2K Australia is closed and dead. They closed about a year after the pre-sequel came out.
Oh, so, rip.
Yeah, or thereabouts.
Ripperoo. So,
yeah, Ripperoo, exactly. Oh, Crash Team Racing remaster coming soon. It's out soon.
It's full of a whole roster of characters who I've never seen before because they're from the other racing games.
Great. Well, I can't wait to lose to characters that I can't even curse because I don't even know their names.
Yeah, really looking forward to playing as, Toad Boy. Toad Arse and...
Dick Machinko.
Bum Lizard.
Bum Lizard. Great. God, Bum Lizard. What an
ass. Also, yeah. Correction, redaction.
Redaction.
To something I've complained about.
Yeah.
It appears
that
the cosmetic stuff that you can get for your carts and your characters and stuff...
Yeah.
All in-game currency.
Okay, so you can customize your carts and stuff.
And you win it. You win the currency by winning races. You might also be able to buy it.
Man.
I don't mind that if it's just,
I'm not going to play online anyway.
No, me neither. But as long as, it's not completely locked off unless you spend real money, which it isn't, that's fine.
I don't want to go online and face Swagzilla 69 Noobscoper, who's just in his solid gold chariot.
Yeah.
With his one hit, where he starts the race with the three lock-on missiles.
And then suddenly he drives through a wall because he's just hacking.
He just reverses over the finish line and accelerates over and over again. Swagzilla, what are you like? Well, that's what we play. And question two, peeps, who we got?
This is from Michael Labruto.
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 Jason Labruto.
Oh, absolutely. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on Crystal Dynamics heading up the new Avengers game? Will it be able to ride the wave of endgame hype?
This was announced bloody ages ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was talked about a long time ago, but we've recently had a sort of update on it.
Yeah, so I was very obviously very excited.
Yeah, well,
this was announced around the sort of time, end of 2016, maybe mid early 2017, sort of that time.
Yeah,
a good few years ago now.
Okay,
it was announced around the time that Marvel's Spider-Man was, and it was Disney's new initiative where they basically said our game studios are trash.
Yeah,
Activision is doing a horrible job with Spider-Man. Activision is doing a horrible job with the X-Men. Activision is doing a horrible job with all of the things. We want a Batman Arkham, please. That's what we would like for our. We've got the film stuff down, but we can't get the game stuff down. Whereas DC gets the game stuff done, and it can't get the film.
Activision.
Yeah, acting a fool, acting a vision. So what they did is they took all their licenses back and they said, we're going to give them to interesting and good studios to make a fantastic roster of Video James.
Hello.
My name is Video James.
No, my name is Ross Ter.
Ross Ter, and I'm his brother, Video James.
Yes.
Different surnames. Hmm. Two first names, though, Video and James.
Yeah.
So Marvel Spider-Man was one of them. They gave it to Insomniac, obviously part of a very complicated licensing deal with Sony because they technically own the Spider-Man license. But my goodness, what a fantastic game. And what good promotion for Disney.
Yeah.
And Marvel.
Definitely.
So they must have seen that and been like, oh, okay, well, that's good. That's good to know.
Stuck
so
Avengers we give it Tower to a good. New York City.
We give it to a good studio and maybe they make something actually bloody competent.
Yeah.
Square Enix was the other one they gave the Avengers license to. Now, presumably, this is not going to be a crossover universe. I would love to.
Oh my God, imagine.
I would love to think that they would just, okay, you make a Hulk game, you make a Captain America game, you make a Thor game, and eventually we'll have them all come together. But with Marvel Spider-Man being exclusive, unless there's some really complicated licensing stuff going on there, as with the films, so I suppose it is possible.
Same reality, but a different universe.
God, yeah. That PS4's Spider-Man shows up in Square Enix's Avengers, or if it's a different Spider-Man. I don't know. It does scream of Venom all over again.
Yeah,
it's complicated. But they showed this teaser years ago of everyone's weapons, the signature weapons on the floor and
the
various and sound effects. Mjolnir. 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 And they finally, after 2 years of silence... have said that they'll be showing it off at their conference, Square Enix's conference.
Exciting.
Which is finally a reason to stay up for Square Enix's conference, because apart from Final Fantasy VII Remake, which might be there, that was kind of it. So how do you think this is going to play out, Peter? I know you're a huge Marvel fan.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the Marvels. To be fair, as I've said in previous podcasts, and I'm still playing it, loving Spider-Man so much. I don't have it's not that I'm not a Marvel fan, it's just the MCU I'm not a particularly big fan of. I've always loved Spider-Man as a character and his whole pantheon, if you like, of villains. I think it's a really cool set of villains. Yeah, I don't.
And he's got your name.
He has got my name. Yeah, Spider. I don't have as much knowledge or interest in the Ironmans or the Captain Americas or the Hulkoids, but I am interested. I think I would. The thing that not concerns me but interests me about this game is how it might play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of gameplay, like how, if you know, the Avengers, that's like a whole team of superheroes. So is it like, will you play different levels as different people? Will it be very linear? Mm-hmm. Or will you be able to just choose who you want to be? And if you do, if you can do that, then surely you have to, the levels have to be designed in a way that like someone who can fly.
It's not just, it doesn't just break it. We've spoken about games that let you fly before. It's
so
hard. Hard to do.
In that respect, I feel like you're going to be forced into playing certain characters at certain times, presumably.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Or maybe it'd be a bit like Lego Star Wars, where like there's several characters there who you can switch into, and the level has been built around that handful of people who are going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing that most kind of, not confuses me, but yeah, I'd be very interested to see how it's going to play out, and hopefully we'll actually see some gameplay at E3, rather than just here's a really fancy CG cutscene with all the Avengers doing stuff, because it's like, well, that's obviously what the game's going to be about. I don't need to see that. I just need to, I want to know how it's going to be. But Crystal Dynamics, man, I love them.
Yeah, they're great.
They've done, they did Gex, they did Soul Reaver.
They sure did.
They did, they're doing the Tomb Raiders.
They are.
They did Pandemonium, which some people really, really don't like or understand.
Understand, I think I can feel you're leaning heavily towards rather than don't like. They don't get it.
Yeah, well,
they just don't get it.
Yeah, both. I think it's both. I think they don't like it because they don't get it.
Right.
but Crystal Dynamics are great, and I would feel comfortable with any game in their hands.
Yeah.
It's
another interesting studio, isn't it? It's another studio that has a real track record. Rather than going, and this is no disrespect to Beenox, but it's like, rather than saying, okay, Activision, what B studios have you got? I mean, literally. What B tier studios do you have free at the moment?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we'll give it to Beenox. They'll be the guys who do the mediocre Spider-Man games. It's like they're actually, you know, Crystal Dynamics. I forgot that it was actually announced in the original trailer that Crystal Dynamics were working on.
Oh, right.
I thought it was just Square Enix in general, which has got me thinking, oh, this could be really interesting. Like maybe they go for a JRPG style approach, but then of course they have Western studios as well. And I'm kind of glad that it is a Western studio because they can't seem to pull their finger out with a lot of their Japanese studios, a la any Final Fantasy game that they've worked on for the last few years.
Yeah.
Crystal Dynamics, I think, could do something really interesting. I don't know if we'll see gameplay or if it'll just be a proper CG trailer. Mm. But I'm excited.
If it's been in the works for a couple of years, they might have a small build that they can show. Not necessarily playable on the show floor for people who are there, but they might have cobbled together some sort of representative of gameplay over the shoulder, actually fake CGI scripted trailer. I just want to know how it plays.
Yeah, me too. I wonder how big Crystal Dynamics is now, because they've obviously been working on Rise of the Tomb Raider most recently. I don't know if they have anything else announced at the moment, but obviously we know that this has apparently been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
But that might literally, given that we only got Spider-Man last year, it might, given the time period, it might have just been at the time, hey, by the way, we've got this license and we've been given a green light to make an Avengers game, rather than this is actively in development and is nearly done.
True.
So it might be very soon. They might just show off a load of gameplay and just say, yeah, it's coming out early next year. Mm-hmm. Look forward to it, which would be really cool.
Intriguing. Watch this face.
Watch this face.
Yeah.
Speaking of this face, it's a bit strange looking, isn't it?
It is pretty weird.
Pretty strange and weird. Is it time, Peter? I think it's time for weird news.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Peter Austin.
I'm just accepting a cookies agreement on polygon.com. Yes, I'm okay about cookies.
It's weird news time. It's weird o'clock.
Yeah.
I've got a weird news for you peeps.
Okay.
Art thou ready to receive it, thine news?
Oh, weird me up. Do it. Weird, please.
PUBG, which of course is Public Battlegrounds, G. Test build pulled in China, replaced with Patriotic Alternative.
Oh, goodness.
This comes by way of Destructoid.
Oh, yeah. Those fellas.
Chris Moyes wrote this. Tencent forced to pull localized Battle Royale port. After 2 years of tentative work while building a community of some 70 million players, publisher Tencent has been forced to close its Chinese release of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds following the title's inability to gain approval from the government's State Administration of Press and Publication.
Oh, wow.
Since 2017, a localized test build of the Battle Royale title has been in development, which includes various changes to the game's aesthetics and violent content necessary for the title to be approved for release. Ultimately, the problem came down to in-app purchases, which the government would not approve given PUBG's war-based content.
Right.
In a bizarre twist, however, Tencent has replaced PUBG with an all-new patriotic title, Game for Peace, which the publisher states pays tribute to the blue sky warriors that guard our country's airspace, referencing China's Air Force.
What? So it's an Air Force game now?
Nope.
No.
Amusingly, Game for Peace. Game for Beast? Game for Obese is reportedly PUBG in almost every single way, and previous PUBG players have found their accounts, even their in-game stats, automatically transferred to the new title.
So what's the difference? What's the point?
It's almost exactly the same, noted IHS games analyst Siu Chen Yu. The gameplay, the background, the graphic design, and the characters, they're almost the same. Incidentally, Game for Peace has found approval for monetization from the government.
Just because it's called Game for Peace.
Game
now,
for Peace.
And it's dedicated to our boys in blue.
Our boys in blue that fly in the sky areas.
Right.
Pays tribute to the blue sky warriors that guard our country's airspace. Tencent, I don't believe, is a Chinese company. But yeah, so they've been trying to get PUBG approved for sale in China for a long time, and it's not been allowed. Because of in-app purchases, because of war content. I don't know why those two marrying together is so obscene.
No.
But all they did was change the name and the description to give it a patriotic twist, and China was like, hell yeah, my dude.
They just changed...
Blaze it.
You know, they resprayed and gave it new plates.
They did. They literally just parked it in the pay and spray in
GTA. Yeah, in GTA.
And it just came out, and Chinese government was like, heck yeah, my
Eight Balls Bomb Shop.
That is awesome. But it's exactly the same game.
Weird. That's really strange.
If you're in China and have been trying to play PUBG, let us know.
Is it good?
Peter.
Yeah?
What you got?
Twitch's artifact section. Artifact.
This is an artifact.
Yeah, so it's a video game. Artifact.
Is it?
It's a card game.
Okay. Yeah.
Twitch's artifact section has become a walking nightmare.
Okay.
A waking nightmare, actually, is what it says.
Oh, but it's also a walking nightmare.
I think it's probably a walking nightmare.
It'd be arguably a worse nightmare if you had to walk as well.
This is from Polygon. Mm. The subtitle is, "This isn't Valve's card game at all."
Oh.
By Cass Marshall. Artifact, the Valve collectible card game based off the Dota 2 universe, is currently, or the Dota 2 universe is
Dota 2 universe, yes,
officially
of course.
Called, yeah. Is currently in a very unusual state. First of all, the game developers have put the game on hold to examine the root issues that caused it to bomb so badly. Mm. Secondly, its failure has become a bit of a meme.
A meme?
Meme.
Maybe they meant to type memo.
Yeah, and that spread to the game's presence on Twitch. After prominent streamers pointed out how barren the artifact section was, members of the Twitch community took advantage of the quiet and turned the section into something that ranged from the bizarre to the disturbing. Anyone interested in seeing the joke streams for themselves should be warned that there is some extremely not safe for work or disturbing content being displayed.
So basically they've seen this game category, completely barren, and they've literally just decided to squat in it by streaming anything they want.
And not just squat, but squat down and take a massive dump.
Massive dump, which is definitely at least five of the streams.
If you were to check out Artifact on Twitch throughout the weekend, you'd find viewings of Avengers Endgame and Star Wars, documentaries on Nazi Germany, games of League of Legends, and various anime. These viewings range from silly, but all the way up to the deeply disturbing. This included a video, this is not so funny, of the graphic Christchurch mosque shooting,
which
was streamed for 20 minutes before being shut down by Twitch, thank God. While that was removed, the Twitch section is still completely overrun by users streaming whatever they like. There's a lot of repetition in this article. Among these streams was hardcore pornography and other NSFW content. Some of the channels were just streaming media like popular movies or cute animal GIFs. Others chose to get far more experimental with it, like this video that showed a clip of a Nigerian film with an actor asking, "Why are you running?" The clip, which has
That's a popular memo at the moment.
It is. Yeah. The clip, which has been popularized through Vine and YouTube, would play once, then twice side by side, then four times. You know, when it's like, why are you running? But it plays 349,525 times.
Right.
That is what happens.
Oh, it plays. It just keeps duplicating over and over.
When it
again.
Sort of sweeps down the screen. Have you seen those? Where they've like shrunk it down.
Yeah.
Like thousands and thousands of times onto the screen. And there's loads of them.
So it keeps zooming out.
Sort of sweeps across. They all. So like the one in the top left corner plays, and then the next two play.
Oh, okay.
Like frame after frame. So it's like, why are you running? I don't know how it goes.
No.
I've not seen that.
It just becomes a cacophony of noise.
Exactly. That's what it says. It's been broadcast 349,000 times in 1 minute in a horrifying cacophony of chaos.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Perhaps the most unusual part of this is that in the late hours of Sunday night, one streamer actually loaded up Artifact and played the card game for an audience of a few hundred curious fans.
Wow.
How strange.
That's weird.
Many of these streams are seen to be taking basic attempts to avoid being banned, such as using titles like In Queue for Artifact. As this trend rages on, it serves as a fascinating reminder of the potential power for both good and bad of Twitch.
Wow.
There's some slightly weird news for you right
that
there.
That is weird. How weird. I have a bit of runner-up weird news. One that I opened in a new tab and was going to talk about, but then it turned out to be just rather than... It is a bit weird, but it turned out to just be more interesting than anything else.
Okay.
Lance McDonald, who is a prolific Bloodborne modder and various Dark Souls and FromSoft modder, he manages to get in and find like alpha content and cut stuff by rooting around in files and like cut bosses and
data
things like
mining.
That. Really interesting stuff, and he makes some great videos on it. He has managed to create a mod based on something that was in the game files already, and this is on PS4, mind, that lets you play as enemies in Bloodborne.
Oh, really?
Where you can walk up to an enemy, press L3, and then become the enemy and just run around and use all their attacks and stuff.
Wow.
Which I just thought was super interesting. A little weird. I don't know. But apparently it works with Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3, and he's going to try and get it working for Sekiro as well.
Wow.
So you can just run around as the enemies in Sekiro. I don't know. I just thought that was weird and also really fascinating. So if you're interested in that, look it up. There might be a link in the dump. I'll probably forget, though. Next question.
Yes.
Comes from two people.
Oh.
One comes from Chavi Chav Chavarez Ramirez.
What?
Chavarez Ramirez.
Javier.
Chavarez.
Xavier.
Travelator Ramirez, who says Death Stranding was just revealed for November of this year. I'm still confused by it all from the trailers. What are you guys' thoughts on the game? And also Stephanie Jones, who says, so follow up on Travelator's question. What is Death Stranding actually about?
What is happening out there?
What are the magic... Are you okay, Adam? I think he's just unpacking,
he's unpacking a computer
really angrily. I don't know if that picked up, but it sounded like someone fell over.
Yeah,
I've had
twice.
A fall. What is Death Stranding actually about? What are the magical babies? So, Peter.
Yeah.
Death Stranding is Hideo Kojima's new game.
It is.
He's been given an unlimited time and money from PlayStation, which is absolutely undeniably probably a dangerous thing
That's
to do.
That's a really, really bad thing to do.
It's risky.
It's like putting an 8-year-old in a sweet shop and saying, you can have everything.
Yes.
Not only will it cost you a lot financially, but the child is going to make themselves very sick.
Yeah, that child might not
be sick all over their audience.
Ultimately, just like this game may never come out.
No.
The child may never come out of the sweet shop.
No, possibly
for a variety
not.
Of reasons.
Yeah.
The sweet king, just death. Just death. Just straight up child death.
The sweet king.
The sweet king. That's one of the options. He might become the sweet king. Or she might become the sweet king.
I thought there was some more sort of sinister inside the shop. There's also the sweet king.
Well, I mean, it depends how deep into this fiction you want to go, Peter, because there might well be a sweet king.
No, there's no sweet king. I don't want to think it's like the Pied Piper or something.
Now I'm not going to be able to sleep because of Peter's invented sweet king.
The sweet hello.
Look out, wherever you go.
Can I interest you in a flump?
Every time you have a Freddo, the sweet king is only one diabetic shock away.
No.
He'll come and get you. What are we talking about?
This was streamed yesterday.
Yeah.
At time of recording, during my live stream.
Yeah, were you aware of the weird stream that preceded it, though?
No.
Because they'd been streaming for about 24 hours, and it was the iconic Death Stranding sort of handprints.
Oh, the handprints, yeah.
All over the screen. And as the time went on, it was just the trailer playing on a loop in the background with sort of noises over the top. No. Quite sinister. Maybe the Sweet King makes those.
Yeah,
noises,
possibly.
I don't know. And as time went on, the hands would slowly be removed to reveal more and more of the trailer until they just went, go on then, at like the most ridiculous time. Not even like 4 p.m. or a reasonable time. It was like 4:43 p.m.
Right.
It's like, okay, now it's time for the trailer. And then it just played properly.
Was it 4:44 by any chance?
I don't know.
Because I happened to read something the other day in an article about some old like retro game where if you like interact with this object, it's like a really old like pixely game on like a Sega or an early Nintendo console. If you interact with like the grandfather clock in this house at exactly 4:44, it shows all this like weird text. Because in Japan, I think, the number 4 is like related to death. So maybe it's Death Stranding. So maybe that's what it was for.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot of stuff in this trailer that is very intentional. Kojima, despite his many weirdnesses, I'm hesitant to say flaws, because I know MGS5 had a complicated development cycle as he sort of fell out with Konami, but I was really disappointed with that game in a lot of ways, and he is certainly partly to blame for that. He does a lot of stuff. Everything in that would have been deliberate, all of it. Like the time it was released, the handprint slowly revealing stuff, whatever the hell that noise was over the top while we were waiting for the trailer. People noticed that in the trailer, the transitions between scenes, if you slow it down, it's someone blinking as if it's being observed remotely by someone rather than just being a straight transition or like a quick fade to black. Like you can see it slowly. It's like an eyelid closing and coming back up again.
Okay.
So God knows what that means. I know that everyone who's a crazy, super excited fan for this is just going to be poring over every single detail looking for meaning.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
What do you think?
I am slightly less kind of angry confused than I was before, where like people are just big Kojima fans and I'm not. I really liked MGS1 and then I didn't really have any interest in playing beyond that. I'm told they're very good games. Like MGS2 is supposed to be pretty good, right? But you know, I think Hideo Kojima is weird. And sometimes he probably does know what he's doing. I thought, as I've said multiple times now on streams and things, that with Death Stranding, I was reasonably sure, not that I should know, that he literally was just throwing in whatever kind of imagery he wanted into some of the earlier stuff that we were shown. You know, just the black handprints and the footprints.
The baby in the sweet shop.
The man who has a baby that like does a thumbs up and, you know, just
going down people's throats, and then there's another baby.
And did someone eat like a beetle in one of them, I think. And there's all the like skull men faces and like the dead whales and what's happening. Why are there umbilical cords everywhere?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, he's just thrown all that together and he's going to like eventually sort of try and come up with some sort of complex story where those things can work in a narrative.
Right, like connect the dots almost.
Exactly. And having watched that trailer, I do feel like he has successfully connected the dots. I'm still a bit mad that he potentially had no idea what he was going to do and has now just worked out what he's doing. But, you know, I'm starting to get an idea of what this might be about.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing, though, as I tweeted just before we started recording the podcast, is that there is apparently a character called Die Hard Man.
Yeah.
In it,
Guillermo del Toro.
No, there's someone
is that
else.
Not Die Hard Man?
No, I don't think so. Del Toro's character is called. He's called something else. That's just sort of a collection of adjectives.
Fight Boy.
Yeah, it's like boss, fat boss, it's Kingpin.
Yeah.
But there's also Die Hard Man.
Right.
God knows what he'll be doing.
Yeah.
Something with a vengeance, probably.
Surely.
But, what do you? I have a theory. I have a rough theory of narrative and lore. Have you got any ideas?
Well, apparently it's the if you go to the website,
oh, yes,
and you look at the various descriptions, it starts to take sort of more of a shape. And he has that as you said, things have started to become a little clearer. It's still bloody weird.
Yeah.
But it seems to be post apocalypse almost. Mm-hmm. There's no real society left anymore, and you're going between it's certainly set. It seems in the real world, because they're talking about America.
Yeah.
You seem to have some kind of relationship with the president, maybe, who's dying or something, and you're going to these various communities trying to join them together, but there's a force that is trying to stop you from doing that, mm-hmm. and you can deploy a ladder. And honestly, the gameplay they showed didn't look that exciting or great, but contextually it might make more sense when so that's odd. And then when it rains, spooky monsters come out that can only be detected by using your baby power,
yeah,
because you've got a baby on you and you have a big thing that, like, an arm that comes over the top of you, like Doc Octopus, yeah, that sort of senses. What was that? Can you make that noise again, a bit closer? Can you a little bit closer to the mic, son? Really horrible, that.
Yeah.
And then you have to avoid it, but then he gets grabbed and sucked down into the floor and starts sort of clipping through the ground.
Yeah, then he
like
was
a sort of
burrowing.
Weird river of black goop.
Yeah.
So it seems to be sort of juggling with interesting concepts of life and death and what, you know, building communities and bringing people together and tapping through to the other side, almost like, I know it was crap, but if you played Beyond Two Souls, there was a lot of that as well.
Right.
Which is, and almost like, what was that Ellen Page film where they like shock themselves into death? Just
Flatliners,
yeah, where they sort of go between, and Stranger Things with the upside.
I watched that at like 2 a.m. once.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, it was okay, but
I haven't
watched
it, but I'm familiar with the concept at least. So sort of that kind of, what is it, what is going on the other side, and can we tap into that power, the upside down from Stranger Things, all that sort of stuff.
It seems like the weird force, or all the black stuff, basically,
yeah,
is not only is it like death, dead people, dead stuff.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks like echoes of like stuff that actually happened in history, because there's like a World War I tank driving around at one point.
And then you're just shooting through the trenches as well.
Yeah, and you're just in like some trenches from, I guess, also World War I, possibly. I don't know. It looked a bit more modern than that, actually. But the tanks were certainly, early 1900s. And then I also think that the guys who came out of the lake at the end looked kind of like old-ish soldiers compared to some of the technology we saw in the, you know, like his fancy little quad bike thing.
Yes.
But not quite World War era. So I don't know if they're like
from
Vietnam
now period,
War, Korean, like something like that. So looks like not only can like this force kind of bring dead stuff back, or not back, but in some sort of parallel pressing against our universe kind of thing, but actual entire like physical objects and things from history, you know. It's really strange. I still don't really know what's happening, but your baby allows you to see it, because that's fine.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a complex English literature and philosophy degree to be able to understand this game. That's what I'm most concerned about, is that this is just going to be so abstract and odd that, yeah, it makes sense if you read the wiki, but I don't want that. I kind of, not that I want to be spoon-fed my story. It seems to be fascinating and really interesting, and I'm sure Kojima will do it justice, because he's had time and infinite money in the sweet shop and not being chased by the sweet king.
Help.
But I am at the same time kind of worried that it's just going to be so abstract that only a few people are going to truly get it. A lot of people will love it because it's Kojima, and apparently they will readily die for him. But as someone who loves Metal Gear, but still kind of sees through the facade a bit, and, you know, can kind of be a bit objective about it, because I think a lot of people are struggling to be objective about this game.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just, it's Kojima, it's weird.
Exactly,
I'm all for it. Yeah. Like, no, this man does have a track record of releasing some really wonky games. And like the story in MGS5 wasn't even finished. It didn't even finish.
Yeah.
And the twist at the end, which I won't talk about, was such a deflating moment for me that it made the entire game feel like a waste of time.
Right.
And this guy is not perfect. He's not infallible. And I just hope that if this thing is going to be weird and abstract and strange, it at least makes sense.
Yeah. Because otherwise, the people, like you say, the handful of people who do get it will probably be really high horse about it as well.
Oh, they will anyway. People
well, actually,
will.
If you read the comic books that were
did
released
did you read
alongside,
the manga?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's your problem, really. You know, you shouldn't try and understand something if you're not going to engage fully with the lore. So.
But even Kojima would sort of do things like, I'm not going to explain what my game is.
Yeah.
However, if you buy issue 5, 1, and 9 of the companion comic and read the second word from every other page, it tells you who the main villain is. And it's like, you're a very clever man, but there's have respect for me and my time. I don't have time for your games, Hideo. Respect me.
God.
No, respect me.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Hideo killed the radio star. Big discussion time.
That's what we think about that anyway. Yes, yeah. So let's go to the big discussion. So. Big discussion.
This is a question that has come from Jason McMillan.
Jason.
One of our many patrons. Thank you, Jason, for your financial support.
Thank you, Jason.
If you lot want to submit a question, you're a patron. What is y'all's take on... That's what it says.
Yeah.
I'm just reading what it says. What is y'all's take on video game addiction being officially recognized by the World Health Organization?
Oh, so this has been this is in the news at the moment.
Mm.
The BBC was reporting on this as early as the beginning of last year because the WHO were talking about potentially including it in their upcoming, you know, yearly new mental diseases
classification
and stuff.
Of diseases.
Exactly. Mm. And there was some debate about that and whether or not that was necessary and all that kind of stuff. But let's go to Live Science, which is a journalistic outlet that I am not familiar with.
Hello.
We're going live to Science.
We're going live right now to Science. Are you there?
I have vetted it, and it doesn't really seem to put too much of a narrative spin on the story, because this is an important story when we're talking about health and stuff.
Mm.
So I'm not familiar with the source. Take it with a pinch of salt as and when needed. Peeps,
yeah.
I will read this to you. Are you ready?
Please read it.
Recently, the WHO officially recognized gaming disorder as a mental health condition, adding the disorder to the International Classifications of Diseases, or the ICD-11, the organization's official diagnostic manual. Simply playing a lot of video games isn't enough to count as a disorder. Rather, the disorder occurs when gaming interferes with people's daily lives. According to the WHO, gaming disorder is a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior in which people lose control of their gaming behavior, give priority to gaming over other interests and activities, and continue gaming despite negative consequences, such as impairments in their family relationships, social lives, work duties, or other areas. In a statement released on Saturday, the 25th of May, the Entertainment Software Association, or the gaming industry, and others in the industry called on the WHO to reverse its decision, saying gaming disorder is not based on sufficiently robust evidence to justify inclusion. On Twitter... I think I've got...
On Twitter...
Thank you.
Dr. John... what do you think?
Zhao,
an emergency medicine doctor, said the diagnosis was sorely needed. Otherwise, people with real, legitimate video game addiction can often have trouble with insurance paying for their therapy, especially if they don't fit any other diagnosis. Dr. Shekhar Saxena, a mental health expert for WHO, who noted that a small minority of people who play video games will develop addiction problems.
Thank you, Peter, for helping me out.
You're welcome.
So that's the basic story there.
Mm.
I think we're probably both in complete agreement that if someone is in need of help, they should have access to it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people have addictive tendencies and personalities, and it does happen.
Mm.
You know, it's certainly probably nothing that you or I have ever experienced. You know, maybe there's a game that we're really enjoying and we sit there and play. Oh, I sat there and just played a game for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
That's not addiction.
This is really damaging stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people who are really struggling. You hear a lot about people in internet cafes and things like that, particularly in Asia, where they just sit there for days and die because they don't move. You know, they get deep vein thrombosis and they just pass away because they're so addicted to staying there and playing.
I remember there was a story of a couple that got married in, I think it was in South Korea, and literally the bride just got married at her husband, like her groom's desk, because he wasn't able to kind of get up. And like you say, people do just die at their desks, and it's a terrible thing. There's been a lot of debate on social media about whether this is a real thing or not. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing I saw about it when this kind of was breaking news was Jesse Cox, who you may be familiar with on gaming YouTube stuff, had just tweeted and said, why do people care whether it's a real thing? Like, whether it's like, if you don't have video game addiction, you don't really need to worry about whether or not it's real and whether it should be in this diagnostics manual. Like, if people are feeling like they have something that is video game addiction and they need some help, then it's good that this has been classified
officially
as a real thing.
Yeah.
Then they're able to seek that help. If you're not one of those people, it doesn't really affect you, especially in the USA, where it's not taxpayers' money going on, the health of other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think people need to worry too much about whether or not there's enough evidence for whether it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I certainly think, I mean, I'm a psychology graduate.
Oh,
really using that well, aren't
I? Look,
I mean,
at you go.
Now's my chance to shine.
Go for it, Peter.
I studied addiction for a few years, and literally that is, you know, if you swap out the word video game for, like, you know, drugs or
gambling
in this first paragraph that you read about, you know, giving priority over other interests, continuing despite impairments in family relationships and so on, losing control, unable to stop, you know, that's literally the definition of, like, drug addiction and gambling addiction. Gambling is a good parallel as well, because, like, what's the big difference between sitting at a slot machine, which most people would recognize, you know, those people who go to Vegas and they're unable to get up from their seat and they sink tens of thousands of dollars a night, you know? Most people would recognize that as gambling addiction, and they wouldn't have a bad word to say about that being added to a diagnostics manual. So,
and it's not just a financial aspect either.
Oh, no, like, it's not. But, you know, it's certainly the behaviors associated with that. You know,
100%.
What's the big difference? If you swap that slot machine for a PlayStation and someone sits there for days at a time, potentially sinking money into it, but maybe not. But, you know, it's not really any different. So I don't really understand why people are so confused as to why this has been recognized now.
No, I do understand that there could be some concerns, particularly with the ESA, the Entertainment Software Association, who we've spoken about before when talking about loot boxes and the US government potentially getting involved. And that would basically change the way video games are sold.
True.
And that could have knock-on effects. It's sort of a case of, we kind of need to regulate ourselves rather than risk outside interference that could just affect everything, have a knock-on effect on everything. And I understand that angle, where if this becomes more prevalent and, you know, lots of people start claiming to have this, then government bodies could quite reasonably step in to start very strictly regulating this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as you said, I don't really understand why people would take issue with it from the other point of view, in that it doesn't affect them at all. And if these people need help, then they should be allowed to get it.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a tricky situation, in that if someone is struggling with an addiction of any kind, they should be able to get the help they need. But if governments and political entities start to get involved, how is that going to affect everybody else? It could have a larger effect on other aspects of, you know, or even just us playing games, you know?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I've not thought of that aspect of it in terms of, yeah, if they have to start regulating it in the same way they might regulate, you know, cigarettes and alcohol, and might put a massive tax all of a sudden on video gaming, you know, like a governing body. I mean, yeah, that's not great, but like when you compare it to, like you say, if this becomes more prevalent and people start getting diagnosed with this stuff, and suddenly it's revealed that, like, hang on, we've had experts look into this, and it turns out that there's like thousands upon thousands of people in the States or Europe or anywhere in the world who are really actually kind of suffering as a result of being addicted to this, you know, medium, then kind of like, well, maybe it should be a bit more carefully, you know, moderated.
There are already warnings that, you know, even the Wii says when you start it up, take a break every hour or so and get up and walk around.
Don't forget to use the wrist strap or you might smash your TV.
There's only so much developers and publishers can do. Like, they can't just shut the game down after 3 hours because then that would be in violation of probably all sorts of user agreements that, you know, you paid your money, I want to play this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I would welcome with open arms the idea that the government might literally step in and say, hang on, this is an epidemic, this is a problem, let's really put our foot down and stop gaming from happening. I don't want that to happen, obviously. But equally, I don't want loads and loads of people, especially if it's an increasing phenomenon, which I don't know if it is, but, you know, that might be related to why it's suddenly been added with a, you know, to a diagnostics manual, because maybe it's more prevalent. You know, if it's going up, that's kind of a bit concerning, and people might need help, and you know, it just I worry about people, you know, with young children. I think there is a lot more onus on the parents just to be like, look, you can play your PlayStation for like 2 hours tonight or an hour or whatever, and that's fine. But I think as soon as people get into their teens and beyond, and maybe go and live on their own, then, yeah, you probably could get stuck in a bit of a rut.
Yeah, and I think the only way the government would ever get involved is either if there's an ulterior motive, so it's a politician who is outspoken in their hatred of video games for whatever reason, and is claiming it's a crusade for health reasons, but actually they just hate video games, so screw that. Or if they, the gremlins are upstairs stamping around.
Yeah.
Or if they suddenly, miraculously, start taking video games really seriously, which I don't think they will. And this is something else that's a bit odd about people's reactions to it, where it's like the World Health Organization is taking video games seriously. Mm-hmm. They are, as a serious thing that people like to do, a pastime that's legitimate.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's just video games. And these are the same people who are probably falling over themselves to defend video games in the same breath and say that they're art and so on.
Yeah.
Like, it's a two-way street. You know, if you want to be legitimately recognized as something that isn't for children, then you need to allow
be
for
people...
be a bit
grown up about
it. Well, you need to be an adult about it for a start. Yeah. And when people are genuinely suffering because of it, that, you know, you need to respect that, you know, just because you're not affected. Just because it's like, oh, I used to play video games like 10 hours at a time, like all night when I was at uni, and I'm fine. So that's not what
just
this
smile.
Is. Though. That's not what this is. Just smile. Why don't you just be happy?
Just go outside and like hang out with your friends when you're done. You can't.
What's the issue?
That's kind of the point of the diagnosis, really.
Case in point, BBC report here. Sean lost his family and job to gaming addiction, sometimes playing first-person shooter games, on one occasion spending a solid 48 hours in front of his computer. I remember shouting at my partner, telling the children to go away. Matthew Priest, a senior therapist at UK Addiction Treatment Group, UCAT, says there has been a significant increase in the number of people seeking treatment. The group, which has traditionally treated people for alcohol, drug and gambling problems, says that it has seen the number of people wanting help with gaming addiction rise year on year from 4 in 2014 to 22 in 2018.
Well, there you go.
And that's just the people who are getting help. And that's a small amount of people, and it may seem insignificant, but those people clearly really need help. And the people who need help should be allowed to get it, and legitimately recognizing this as an issue.
That's the thing. Those are the people who...
It's a good thing.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I thought you just finished your sentence there.
That's fine.
Those are the people who've sought help before it's even been officially recognized as a condition.
Yeah.
So, you know, if even 22 people can come in 2018 and be like, hey, I know this isn't like a thing, but to me it's a thing and I need some help, you know, maybe it will actually help by recognizing it a bit more. And then a lot of people who maybe have been thinking for a few years now, oh man, I've really got a problem, but I can't just wander into rehab.
No one's going to take me seriously.
Yeah, maybe they will now. And if those people can get some benefit out of this, then I'm actually all for of it.
Yeah,
all four of it.
He's all full of it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think we both fall on the same side of the fence here in that this is a good thing because it legitimizes the issue. And people, as you said, who have been putting off potentially getting help because they don't think anyone will take them seriously. Yeah. Or maybe they've been just laughed at by their friends and family because it's like, just video games. Just stop being a stinky nerd and get out of your cave. Yeah. You know, like, no, people sometimes really do. They get stuck in there and they can't.
Mm.
And this hopefully will be a step towards helping those people. But at the same time, I do see what the ESA is concerned about for exactly the same reason. Perhaps this generally pales in comparisons to people's health in this instance.
Mm.
But I do understand people's concerns at the same time that more regulation on video games isn't necessarily a good thing. And that's what this could lead to. But that's the thing. It could lead to it. It's not going to lead to it. And equally, I still think there's still a long way to go before most governments take video games seriously enough to start regulating them themselves anyway.
Yeah.
So there we go. Let us know, though, what you think of all this in the comments below. Let us know what you think about Death Stranding and the Avengers game and E3. We'll be talking a lot about E3 next week. And, of course, the podcast that comes at the end of E3 week will be full of E3 discussion. So we'll be asking for all your E3 questions for that as well.
Pitch a patriotic PUBG alternative for your nation in
public
the comments.
Public Jew. Yes, let us know in the comments. Peter, where can they find us?
Team Triple Jump. Everywhere.
Sorry, I just punched that. Oh my God, way harder.
That was way harder. That's our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel, twitch.tv, Twitter and Facebook, if you're young or 50.
Yep.
Patreon is Team Triple Jump. And if you go on there, you can ask questions for this very podcast, as well as get other awards, such as early worst games ever and a t-shirt. And we do a voice chat sometimes every month with our patrons. The podcast that you're listening to right now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can get it in audio form at play.acast.com/s/triple jump. Not Team Triple Jump.
No, not that one.
The website is triplej.mup. That's J-U.mp.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to our shop there and buy shirts and hoodies and moods.
Yeah, we're wearing some of them in the video right now.
Yeah, and we've got a Discord as well with a special Patreon room.
Patrol.
That's just bit.ly/teamtriplejump.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do Peter at that Peter Austin, myself at confused_dude, and Instagram. That's something we're trying to use more of now.
Yeah.
At that Peter Austin and at BenPotter20. Lists, they come to you every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Thursday being YouTube. Monday, Tuesday being Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Worst Games is fortnightly. And this week is a Worst Games Ever week. If you are a Patreon supporter even, over at patreon.com/triplejump, you would have gotten the Worst Games Ever for this week on Friday.
Yeah.
You get it 2 days early. For all the rest of you scrubs, it's tomorrow, Sunday. So look forward to that. Podcast is every Saturday. Please leave an iTunes review or a review on your platform of choice. That'd be great.
Mm.
And one final thank you to this week's sponsor, Super Mario Plum Boys. If you're after plums, they're juicy ripe and they're ready to get in your mouth holes. There was a bit of confusion at the start there. They clarified at the end here.
In touch.
Yeah, this just the paper said it was
A fruit thing.
It's a fruit thing.
I thought it was
Super Mario Plums. It's a fruit thing.
Right.
Available now at triplej.mup/shop.
Green grocers.
Yes. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Ben.
It's time to go home. Well, not really. We've got other stuff to do, but metaphorically.
It's time to scarlet that fire.
Bye everyone. Bye everyone. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.